God's assurance. You know, it's very easy for someone that is biblically illiterate, that's to say somebody that can pull a little verse from here or there, and probably when it comes to the whole chapter would have no idea what it was talking about. That type of person can really be upset when people start casting darts about what's going to happen. Hey, it's as Jesus would answer, it's written, haven't you read? So, actually, acquainting yourself with our Father's Word, He has guarantees in that Word, promises. And if you have the faith, and that's very important because that's the ingredient that unlocks the door, is faith. I mean, what I'm about to say has no meaning to you if you do not believe upon your Father that He loves you. Do you know something? He wants the very best for you, but He wants to know at the same time, because there could be rough times ahead, that He can let you get shook up every once in a while and not fall to pieces. Or as we used to say in the Marine Corps, don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise. It's how well you control yourself, how mentally and spiritually you can discipline yourself, whereby nothing shakes you all that much. Why? God's told you, you don't have any reason to be shaken. He's going to do all the shaking, and it's not you He's going to shake, but the enemy. So now, if you're one of these that allows themselves to be caught up in fear, anxiety, well, I'm sorry, you're probably not there yet. Now, there are people that have nervous conditions, and I don't want to, you know, maybe this would work that way. But then get hold of yourself. Pick yourself up and say, hey, my Father's running this show, and He says, I don't have to worry about that as long as I utilize common sense. That's kind of the parameters of what we're going to be discussing today. Open your Word, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to let it be more or less the base for this particular teaching, God's assurance. And we're going to begin with verse 11. Let me first lay a little groundwork. What does the beginning of this chapter say? Hey, he says, brethren, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant of the fact that God brought the children through the Red Sea. He fed them in the wilderness. I mean, people that really had a right to maybe be a little worried because there wasn't a stop and go down on the corner, you know. They were in the middle of the desert. And He fed them. He did all these things as an example to you, so that when somebody came by trying to frighten you with the year 2000, you wouldn't lose your mind. You wouldn't go nuts. And there are some people absolutely losing it all as far as having their feet on the ground and knowing and understanding the mechanism of this generation. So that's basically what this is leading up to. We pick it up in verse 11 where it reads, now all these things, that's the crossing of the Red Sea, the feeding in the wilderness, the many miracles, these things happened unto them for ensamples, that's examples, in that's an old Anglo-Saxon term, and they are written for our admonition, for our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's the generation of the fig tree. That's why Jesus told you in Mark 13 concerning the seven events that are the seven seals that consummate the end of this age, that the generation of the fig tree would be the final generation. No one knows the hour or the day, but you should know the season if you're wise in His Word. Verse 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When you make that stand, be on guard against the adversary. He's going to try to excite you, to throw you off, to frighten you. Hey, let me tell you something. Old soldiers don't scare easy. They're the type that say, well, hey, let's get it on. But when you really have faith in God's word, that's the stand you can make. So make the stand and make a difference. Be salty about it. Anybody that doesn't have salt is a little bit bland. Yuck. It takes a little salt. The word is salty. We don't take nothing off the adversary. Why? Our Father is in control and gave us authority over that that is negative. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. In other words, that isn't a human thing that's happened to everybody. And nobody's perfect. But you haven't come up against one thing that hadn't been faced before. But God is faithful. I hope you can remember that. God is faithful. Therefore, you can count on His promises as though it was already done, for it is, when you make the stand. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Do you understand what God promised you there, what He assured you? There is never a time in your life that something isn't going to come up. That if you stand, if you think, if you keep the wheels turning, that He isn't going to show you how to overcome it. I have found that to be absolute in my lifetime. We're getting to be quite a few years, and I've plowed a few fields. In everything from military combat to you name it. And certainly, there is faith, of course. But never stop thinking. And what should you be thinking? Wisdom, what you have been taught from this word. That's what's important. Not what some knucklehead might say over here in Timbuktu, but what your Father, who is in charge, has promised you. You can count on that. It's absolute. Now, let's take, so that no one says, oh, it's just going to be a rose garden. That isn't what it said. Do you know what the word tempted means here in the Greek? It's pyrexos. And it comes from pyrexos means to be assayed and proved. Right? When you assay something, what does it do? You dig out a little ore out here out of the mountains and you take it down to the assayer and say, what's it worth? Well, that's where God's kind of assaying you to see, hey, what are they worth? Are they going to fold on me? Are they all talk? Or can I count on them? Because it also means worth. So the amazing thing, though, that it comes from a kin word, pyra, which means to pierce. So there could even be a little pain in it, is what I'm saying. When you make a real deep study of the Greek, it could mean there could even be a little pain in it. But hey, what's a little pain to you when you can double it to the enemy? All right? No problem, can do. In other words, pleasantry. It may not be a pleasantry. It may not be a pleasant situation, but bless your heart, you're going through it. You have to have faith to know I will show you the way. I will give you an escape. Not necessarily an escape, a way out. And do you know something that I've always found? That way out always makes you a lot bigger and better person than you were before you went into the trouble. So God says, you're going to be tempted. And it may sting a little occasionally. I want to see how salty you are. And you know, I hope all of you know where I'm drawing from the salt. God's word and His people are salty. They make a difference wherever they go. The room's a little saltier than it was before they entered. Why? Because of, not salt, but the word. The example set forth. When everybody's shaking and trembling, if you have one voice that says, "Peace, be still," think, you can calm a whole crowd because they're drawn to a surety. And God, in your daily life, your common life, how can I say common? Because He said there is nothing uncommon has happened to you. He puts it on the human level, right down where the rubber meets the road. And hey, if, like I said, if you don't have faith, if you don't have faith in Yahweh, Almighty God, I'm sorry, this probably won't apply to you. But if you have faith to know, I don't care how rough it gets, I don't care how many hills we go, I can always make one more with His help. Can-do type people. That's His promise. So, we got a lot of wet noodles in this world. I'll tell you, we really do. I wouldn't mind trying that, but I'm not sure. Well, then don't. I guarantee you, if you're not sure about this one thing, then don't try it. Because I can guarantee you, you're going to end up in the garbage heap where the other noodles go when you're through with them. Whatever. It's a good analogy. I'll stand on that, okay? Wet noodles are not too, you know, stable, rigid. And so be something. Make the stand. Make a difference in this world. God only knows it means it. And you know, it's wonderful. Sometimes I think we might have more influence than we thought. Sometimes I flip the dial around and some old boy was telling him down somewhere about potty training Christians. So I thought, wonder where he came up with. Oh well, that's wonderful. That's great. You know, it's wonderful. It's good to make a difference. And with God's promises, how can you miss? I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. If, there's an if on it, if you have the faith, if you simply believe that, boy, I do. And I guarantee you, I could tell you some stories that would make the hair come up on some of your necks as to how that believing and faith can miraculously bring you through the very jaws of death. Always, never give up. Think. Look for that way out. You know it's going to be there. You know, beyond doubt, God is going to give you an answer to the problem. Why? He's testing you. He wants to know what you're made out of. Can you cut it, or are you like some others? You know, Christians, there's so many people, yes, I be Christian. Well, are you really? I don't know. Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality. And it doesn't take long to decipher or discern whether a person is truly a Christian or just like the Word. It's real. You can have faith in that. God does give us the victory. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. One of the doctrinal books, all right? 2 Timothy, and verse 3, God's assurance. 2 Timothy chapter 3, God's assurance is your insurance. When your mind wavers or begins to doubt, strengthen yourself, take a deep breath, and do something. When you have been given the unction by the Spirit, that it's time to do something. Chapter 3, let's take it with verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. In other words, there's going to be troubles. Oh, well, I'd be a little Christian, and I know God promised me I don't have to worry about troubles. No, He didn't. But like He knew Job could cut it, and said, "Satan, well, what do you think about my boy Job? I know he can cut it. Go ahead, give him trouble. Watch him come through it, because I'm going to give him the way." Well, So you think he doesn't think any less of you today? Oh, but it's hard. Oh, is it? Well, then you better quit. Or are you thinking and looking for that way through? Because it's there, always. There's going to be trouble, such as the year 2000, euro money, the whole world's changing. Oh, is it? I don't know. I still put my britches on just like I did last year. I don't see that much difference. It's just that the psychology that is administered through the net and press could really get you on a real wing if you were unstable. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, they like money, that's good, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, we've got a generation that I couldn't tolerate too well. I'd like to get them all in the Marines and give them a nice 25 or 30 mile hike to kind of give them an attitude adjustment of themselves. Yourself can be one of your worst enemies if you allow it. Make it fall in line. I'm talking about your flesh body. Verse 3. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontentment, you couldn't please them. No, without self-control, the Greek word means furious, despisers of those that are good. Do something good and they're going to come down on you. Do something good and they will talk about the bearer of the law rather than the law itself. Traitors, heady, high-minded. You know what high-minded is? Puffed up. You don't understand, Pastor. I'd be different. I'm somebody. I mean, after all, don't you understand? I'm a college student. Oh, well, wonderful. Great. You're going to be a 3 or 4 year wonder someday, aren't you? Study to show yourself approved. Don't puff up. 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I mean, they like to talk religion, but they don't believe the power of God within it. From such turn away. Watch out for fake religions. Oh, what is a fake religion? One verse, Charlie's. Some church that you're never going to get more than one verse a week. I think that takes about 1,300 years to make it through the Word. And I don't think you'll live that long. Study God's Word to show yourself approved, whereby you can tell if the man that's belting out the meat to you is full of malarkey or full of the Word of God. Don't play church. It's too late in the season to play church. There are a lot of people. Christ warns you of this in Mark 13. He said, many people are going to come in my name saying they're Christ. I'd be a Christian preacher. Oh? Well, let's hear you preach God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Let's see what you got, son or lady. If they have a gift, fantastic. If they don't, sorry. A lot of people like to play church. And I'm not knocking you. You will never hear me single out a church. It's real easy. And there are good churches in every denomination. It's according to what kind of pastor they have. That makes the difference. Is he teaching God's Word, his Word, or the church system's Word? If it isn't God's Word, you're treading water, wasting time. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And hey, I'm quick to add, there's really no gender on this. Silly men and women that like to play church. Oh, that sounds so religious. And most of them, pretty soon their religion gets around them. Let's do something religious. Somebody pass the hat. Okay. That's about as much as some of them reach out to, all right? 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I've been going to church for 30 years. Well, how do you like God's Word? Let's hear you teach a little bit. Oh, I couldn't do that. I don't understand the Bible. Well, why did you waste 30 years? That's what you did. 30 years of schooling should have put you into the languages, should have the Bible down pat, the Word of God. You should amount to something instead of being a pew potato, being spoon-fed without any wisdom whatsoever. You see, from knowledge comes wisdom, and all wisdom comes from Yahweh, the living God. Not man, not this man or any other man, but from His Word. 7. Ever learn? Oh, we got that one. Okay. 8. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Do you know who these two were? They were the magicians that when Aaron cast the rod down and it turned into a snake, they let their little snakes, they cast their rods down. In other words, it looked about as religious, did it not? But what happened? Aaron's snake swallowed their snakes up. All right. Divine intervention. So, something might look real magical, and it may look like it. That is so religious, it just grabs me right here. Hey, be careful. A lot of things are religious. Christianity is a reality. Okay, verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. As with Moses, what happened to those two? Nothing. Moses overcame them. Why? It was God's will. That's why you always must stay in God's will. 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, Paul speaking, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Hey, you know, all of those are kind of hard to come by. How much patience do you have? Do you wait pretty easy? I can wait except at shopping. You know? That's why I never go with anybody shopping. That gets me, well, my patience and my waiting plays out quick. Okay? But you shouldn't be that way, all right? So, what? Avoid then doing things that is difficult. Let somebody that can do it better than you do that shopping. Verse 11. Persecutions, this is what fell on Paul's back. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, sharpen up for me now. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Who did? The Lord, Yahweh, delivered from the persecutions. Always gave that way out, so it is in your life, if you have the faith. There is only one God in this world, and it seems like it's difficult for some Christians to realize that. It's only one God. Oh, but brother, there's about 187 or more than that denominations. Well, I don't care. There's still only one Father, one Creator. And He is able to deliver. Verse 12, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. You're going to have trouble. But that's okay. Hey, it's no step for a stepper. A little trouble won't hurt anybody. There are times I can remember back through the Depression and the Dust Bowl days and go to bed at night and have a crack not over that wide in a door and there'd be a pile of sand there the next morning. And of course, I'm giving myself away geographically. Hey, those were pretty tough times, but you know something? There was a sturdy bunch of people came through that. Can-do type people. Fantastic. Winners, everyone. They found a way out. It was towards California. Oh, well. 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and has been assured of. Now soak in these words, assured of, meaning proved from God's word, not by some man. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them through the Holy Ruach, Spirit. 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Went to Sunday school, Mama insisted on it, huh? You knew those Scriptures were really something. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I hope you got the faith part. Okay? That's very necessary. Are you able? I don't know. How's your life doing? You know, I just dread. I'm going to give you a little secret that works for me. It may not for you. If I've got a day and I've got a really tough chore coming up, that I'm kind of dreading. Hey, get that rascal out of the way first. What was I worried about that for? That just sailed right through that one. God gave a way out. Keep your eyes open, dear one, and have that faith. 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you believe that? I hope you do. I hope you do. That you retain, praying and asking guidance in whatever your lot might be in life. And God didn't take a cookie cutter and expect all of you to take the same course. That whatever way He leads you, it's led with from the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? In righteousness. Pleasing God. 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, example. There's a verse that gets a lot of churches in trouble. Says it right there in the King James Bible. I read it. Every preacher is supposed to be perfect. I got some bad news for you all. And the whole congregation, the hundreds of thousands of them. I'm not perfect. But that isn't what this word in the Greek means. Perfect as an entity. I sin occasionally. Why? We all fall short. Don't play games with me. This word perfect, means, how is it? Dunamis. Dunamis. No. It's dunamis in the Greek is where our word dynamite comes from, all right? Dynamite. The word here, is clean, fresh, and complete. That's what it means. It has to do with His ability to teach. Is it clean? Is it fresh? Then it's probably from the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about the man's perfection. There's been a lot of ministries got in a lot of trouble by trying to find some perfect leader. And I'm going to tell you something. Since Jesus Christ established the church, I'm sorry, we're running on about a half a tank. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Man is fallible. We all mess up at times. And brother, now listen just a minute. Not after born again. Well, I got some that will disappoint so and drive so many young people away from church. Because you lie to them when you say that. The spiritual body becomes fresh and new. But as long as you live in the flesh, you better warn that child that flesh is going to pick at them. It didn't change. Paul himself would say, I really always start out to warn. I mean, I've got a good plan and I want to do what's right, but sometimes it seems like I do just the opposite. I mean, it'll work out that way, friend, but don't be disappointed. Be disappointed in yourself. Give yourself a good thrashing. Don't worry, God will too. And get your act together, put it in gear, and go. No man is perfect. Now, but dear God, how can that minister say that preachers aren't perfect? Well, let me ask you something. Where is it written that you're supposed to follow a man? I don't think you'll find it. You're supposed to follow God. And if you're following man instead of God, you're probably halfway to some place you didn't want to go in the first place. Because you're probably, number one, biblically illiterate, because that's one of the first lessons you should learn from the Word of God. Don't follow man. Follow God. All right? Now, and it's like many people, and I think the name Reverend gets a lot of it done. Reverence no man. Don't call me Reverend, because my socks get just as dirty as yours do when I'm out in the field searching and doing things. All right? Reverence God. And hey, if somebody wants to be called Reverend, that's all right with me. I got no problem with it. But please don't call me that. Call me Pastor, the tender of the field where the sheep are fed. Because the word pastor comes from pasture. And when you got, I guarantee you, a lot of people say, oh, dear God, how can I get my church to grow? Feed them. Feed them from the Word of God and they'll show up. If you don't believe it, you go out to where there's a bunch of old cows and load some hay on a truck in the wintertime and pull down through there. Hey, they'll be there. You don't have to worry about it. Feed them. Don't come up with any gimmicks. Now, maybe if I put a $5 bill under each seat. Not under each seat, but occasionally, and play games with this. Don't play games with God's house, or you're on the way down. Don't be a beggar. God doesn't send out beggars. Plant seeds. God will always, always deliver you. That's what Paul said. So, I think I've beat that old horse about to death. Don't look for perfection in man. You're not going to find it there. I mean, you know, that's real easy to answer. Look at yourself. If you're trying to find a perfect man to follow, look at yourself. Think about it. No, that's not what the word means, perfect as we would take it in English. It means clean and fresh and complete. Complete what? The complete Word of God, right?
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
Because of the Nephilim, the Nephilim, the fallen ones. 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. An ensample whereby you would know, hey, if you do that, God's going to destroy them. It's that simple. God teaches by object lessons. You want an object? You take like what happened this past weekend. That's why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. You know, boy, they like to take chances. What? And I'm sorry, I shouldn't. There I go again. 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation. It upset him what went on around him. Of the wicked, troubled him. Verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He didn't like it. He was uncomfortable with it. 9. The Lord knoweth. Now listen carefully. The Lord knoweth how to deliver. How does he know how to deliver? That's his promise. That's his assurance. He will always, just as he showed Lot the way out, he'll show you the way out. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, out of trials, while you're being assayed. He knows where your point is, and he knows how to make it right with you, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, and so on and so forth. God is able to deliver. He has given us examples from the beginning of time of his truthfulness, of how he does it. And all you got to worry about is please God, have that faith. In the Hebrew manuscripts, God has some very beautiful, beautiful teachings. We're going to go there now to the 37th Psalm. And you with companion Bibles, it will help you some. You with others, we will discuss what we're about to read here. It is a common thing among people to say, the bad always win. The evil people always prosper. Well, let me tell you something. In playing the market, there's a difference in playing it long and playing it short. All right? You make your plans on a different set of values. Well, certainly, when you're in God's Word, you'd better have your life based on a different set of values. This 37th Psalm is an acrostic psalm. In the Hebrew manuscripts, before each line, stanza, there is a Hebrew letter of the alphabet beginning with the leaf and going through. This letter is before simply standing there as an acrostic. Now, how is the acrostic brought out? Well, in these verses or lines are set up in a quatrain, four lines, with the exception of three. And three of the, I'll call them verses, okay, allow me that. Three of the verses are triplets. So what does that mean? They stick out like a sore thumb. All right? Not everybody would notice that, but God wants those that truly follow him to be aware of it. For it is a hidden message to you. If you ever think that God blesses the wicked, or the wicked are the ones that get ahead, then you are so far off base. God didn't expect Christians to be poor. There's no sin in being poor, but you don't have to stay that way. Plan your life whereby you get ahead. God's blessings of richness are wonderful. But if you're rich with ill-gotten gains, better unload the camel so you can make it through the little gate, or you're in trouble, all right? That's your business, not mine. But God has set aside this acrostic with a special message for you that he always delivers. He always keeps his word. But he's also, as he said concerning Sodom and Gomorrah and the verses we just left, let's pick it up if we may, so that you can mark your Bible if you haven't made this study with me before. Circle, if you would, verse 7, circle verse 20, and circle verse 34. It is strange that that works out the seventh verse in English from the beginning, the seventh verse in English from the end, going backwards, and then in as much as there are 40 verses, 20 is the center. And what does that mean? That and a dollar and a half will get you a cup of coffee a lot of places, okay? But it is interesting. Stick with the triplets and the quatrain, all right? The quatrain, four. But those verses I called out to you only have three lines. And that's the acrostic, all right? There's another acrostic within this, but it would digress to go into it. We will omit it. I'm going to read only the first seven verses, and then only the part that have to do with the acrostic, the thing that God wants those that study His Word to know. All right, so hang on. Let's go with it. It's very simple. Don't make that complicated. Let me say it in one other way, and I feel like I'm talking down, but be that as it may, I feel it's necessary for some reason. Call this a song, and most of the song has four lines to each chorus. That's wrong. Each verse, let's say, or make it a poem, all right? But there are three outstandings that only have triplets placed to deliver a message that is God's answer to the question posed here in Psalms 37. All right, hang on, let's go with it. 37:1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. That's a waste of time. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't ever be envious of them. They're burning themselves, all right? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. 3, trust in the Lord. That's all uppercase, the manuscripts, Yahweh. And do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Fed what? Truth, primarily. 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Boy, you can really delight yourself in Him. He's where blessings come from. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That comes after the fact. It's strange, isn't it, that some people want that first. You know? They want a payday before they do the work. God doesn't work that way. Okay? 5, commit thy way. Can you make a commitment? Oh, yes, brother, I can make a commitment right here, but tomorrow morning will it still be there? A lot of people, it won't be. Boy, they can open their mouth, yes, I will. Well, they're like hot air blowing in the day or night, whichever time of day it might be. A commitment is a commitment. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. That's important. That's called faith. And He shall, I repeat, maybe, He might, no, He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now here's why we came here. So that the question is posed, don't be envious of the wicked. Don't be envious of all of them. You stay in your own saddle, ride your own horse, all right? God knows what the score is. Here comes the acrostic, a special command from God to you. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That's hard, but do it. He's in control. Now, the wait doesn't mean sit on your chair and do nothing. Wait means wait till He's ready. Meanwhile, study, study, study. Patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Now, did it say God's way? Uh-uh. In that man's way. What is it? Skin everybody you can and the easy ones twice. Rip them off. That's his way. Don't fret about that. All right? Just don't let him do it to you. Then you really got problems. You're smarter than that. You're supposed to be wiser than the serpent. Don't let him rip you off. Okay? Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. This man in the Hebrew is Ish, not Adam. 8. I'm sorry, we're going to stop there. That's the 7th, all right? What does it say? What did God tell you in that acrostic? Don't worry about it. God has the book of life. He's keeping score. Now skip to the 20th verse. You can cover this whole Psalms, but for the sake of time, skip to the next acrostic. And it reads, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. Now stick with this. They shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. Picture a lamb on a spit over an open fire, And when the fat drops down into the fire, it goes, and the smoke goes up forever and ever. That is forever and ever. They're turned to nothing. And now skip on with me to the 34th verse to pick up the final triplet, God's special message to you. Not only does he tell you don't envy them because they're going to get it, but this is the third part to it. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. That's to say the Lord's way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. You're even going to be there to witness it on that day. That's a powerful message in that psalm. It's so beautiful, giving God's assurance and his promise. But you don't have to get all caught up when some crooked Jake leg over here is really raking it in. Don't worry. It won't last long. Whereas when you do righteous, God blesses you. And think, use your mind. You don't have to make excuses for getting ahead in this world. That's the sign. I don't want to say it's the sign of a real Christian, because God only gives us what we're able to take care of. All right? And the more you grow wise in his word, the more he gives you to take care of. Do you know why? Do you want me to be just real cruel and say why? Because if he gives riches to somebody that isn't ready for it, somebody's going to rip them off for it, just bam, just that quick. They can't handle it. They couldn't keep it. God's way, all right? And now many people could read much into that. I'm just saying God utilizes common sense, so you do too. And you'll always get ahead, all right? In closing, we're going to go to the book of Colossians back in the New Testament. And we're going to pick up one little thought here in chapter 1. I love you with companion Bibles. That acrostic is explained pretty well. And I think that I have given you sufficient otherwise that it'll carry real good for you. God, you know, God is fair and complete. Let me ask you something. You want your children to do well, don't you? I mean, isn't that why you struggle and raise money for college and, you know, and so forth? And then sometimes hopefully they'll use it wisely instead of fluffing off. You really want them to be successful, don't you? Well, do you think you're better than God? God wants his children to do well, too. It's that simple. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. We're just going to read a few short verses here. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. These were kind of God, Paul's spiritual children, and he wanted them to do good. And to desire that you might be filled with the what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you realize that's where wealth comes from? And wealth is a very small side of that. Wisdom is the number one, that you follow God. Wisdom tells you what tomorrow brings so that you know how to beat it. Right? I'm not going to say any more than that. Prophecy comes to pass exactly as it's written. And knowledge brings wisdom, and all, not the wisdom of the street, but the wisdom of God. All wisdom comes from him. 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. That's one word a lot of Christians don't understand. It's no wonder churches die up on the vine. The congregation doesn't produce fruit. I mean, that means plant seeds and get more people interested with the real word. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Why? It comes from God. That's why you seek it from him. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And man, that is real. All right. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You can attain that joy by being familiar with your Father. 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What is light? It's truth. It dispels darkness. It shows you what tomorrow brings so that you can plan for it. It shows you what next year brings, basically, so you can plan for it. That way, you can keep ahead of the game. As Jesus would say, haven't you read it yet? Fit to inherit. That's what wisdom, faith, and knowledge will do for you. 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? God is a deliverer. That's this subject. It's his guarantee. He will deliver you from darkness by allowing the light to come into your life, and it shatters darkness. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You know, I received a poem yesterday that was sent to me from Florida, and I won't mention the name, but this person had written this poem that... Have you ever looked at a light bulb or a candle? It's not really what most people think it is. It's a dark sucker. Okay? When you turn it on, it sucks the dark right up. All right? Or if you light a candle, you know, the wick turns black because it sucks all the dark. This is a joke. You understand? Now don't... Wow! I don't want you to take this serious. The guy didn't have much time. I mean, he didn't have much work to do, so he kind of did a negative type poem. And it was kind of cute, you know. He said, when the light bulb gets totally full and it's sucked all the dark it can, it quits and the little dark spot shows up on it. Then the dark sucker has done its work. All right. Well, it seems like that's the way some people study the Bible, too. Christ is the light. The Word is the light, if you'd prefer to look at it that way. And it will always keep you out of the darkness. Now, sometimes people get a little worried about this. But I'm going to tell you what. There are a lot of people that won't close their flesh eyes and open their spiritual eyes to see what real light really looks like. It's faith in God. And claiming the assurance, the guarantee, and knowing that your Father loves you very much, so naturally he's going to look out for you. Naturally he's going to deliver you. Against my own better judgment, I'm going to utilize a little child and a mother, or a father either. You will let that little one try its legs, but you're going to be right there behind it. And if he gets in a bad spot, you're going to pull him out, all right? As that child learns. Do you think God is any... Do you think you're smarter than God? God does that a lot with preachers, okay? He really does. He helps them along and guides them, but no more than anyone else, truly. He dispels the darkness in your life, and the prince of darkness is Satan. Number one, he was so good that he gave us a winning set of circumstances, because as it is written in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he gave us power over Satan and all our enemies. Did you know that? Now, a lot of people, well, he never protects me. He doesn't. He gave you power over Satan, and you're going to let him in your house? What kind of person are you? Well, he's eating me up. Well, kick him off in the name of Jesus. You know, people whimper and cry and moan and get on pity parties when Christ gave them the power and the authority over all their enemies, and they won't claim it. It's there. Take it. It's real. I just wish I could do better. Well, then do. It's that simple, all right? And I don't want it to sound like that I'm hard or brash or anything, but I love you and I want you to have the truth. I want you to know how to do it. You got to know how to take names and kick dragon. All right? That's what intends. He didn't make poor little, I don't know, maybe on this hand and maybe on that hand. That's men preaching. The word is right on. Do it this way. All right? Trust him. Do it his way. 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Let us make man in our image. Emmanuel, if you have seen Christ, you have seen the Father, God with us. I thought that would be a good lecture today to show that in both the old and hey, we could have gone in a lot of places and shown God's deliverance. We could have taken that Red Sea. We could have taken many places. God is always good to his children. He always delivers. He's never failed. So, that is as long as the child deserved it. So, it's no different today, my friend. When many people are putting out scare tactics because of the ignorance, basically, of people who get caught up in the system rather than looking at reality, which is the Word of God, they can get lost and troubled. Don't be troubled. You're in the driver's seat as a true Christian. Stay there and drive your life. We could have used a little Christian boat where Christ says, we're going over to the other side. And he went to sleep. They get halfway across, and I mean, it's storming, the wind's blowing. And when he's already told them, we're going over, they all were going to die. Well, these waves are so big, don't you care, we're going to drown. And he said, peace, be still, and so forth. All right. In your life today, you can calm yourself in him. Don't let the world shake you up. The world has a prince of power of the air. And if you let the world shake you up, hey, what are you going to do when we finally go to war here at the end? And I'm talking about a spiritual war, okay? What are you going to do? Be strong in him. He has guaranteed you. He has given you the dunamis. That's the power. Use it in his name. Alone, you can do nothing. In God's name, you can accomplish a lot. For it is written. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the written word, Father. Be with us, guide us, direct us. And Father, I ask a blessing on the whole world at this time as we approach this year 2000. Father, comfort hearts everywhere when the scare tactics are poured forth upon them. Simply use their mind, program their computers as they're supposed to, and no problem. Thank you, Father, for giving us intelligence and wisdom from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
The epistles of John, three letters written by the Apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the number of times he begins the exhortations and warnings with, my little children, or little children. In fact, little children is written seven times in the first